So how many of you remember Friends? It was like, if you were around in the 90s, it was like a part of our everyday lives, wasn't it? Six friends who we all watched them kind of go in and out of relationships, grow up. Actually, they never seemed to get old. Did you notice that? I don't know how it was, about 10 series long, but they never seemed to get old. They always looked good. And at the end there, you saw the little clip. Their catchphrase was, "I will be there for you." And this morning, we're going to be looking, I don't know if you've caught the theme already, it's been a lovely morning. We caught the theme of being friends, being in relationship together, being in family together, as Tammy was saying with the young people. You know, we're looking this week, in the last few weeks, we've been looking at the vision and values of the church. And we had the vision leaks from Julian right back at the beginning. You know, often we need to keep reminding ourselves, because however much we think we know things, we easily forget, don't we? And it's easy to kind of let the reasons why we do what we do kind of pass us by. So we're just reminding ourselves and encouraging ourselves as Cornerstone Church, as the people of God, as this family, why we do what we do. And this church, one of the vision statements says that Cornerstone Church seeks to be non-religious, culturally relevant, and relational church. And this week we're going to be looking at what it means to be relational church. And I thought about starting, you know, last week, Adam started with a joke, didn't he, about the horse meat in Tesco's. And that was a very good joke. But I know that I have a bit of a reputation for not doing very good jokes. So I did a quick Gallup opinion poll, and I thought, I won't tell a joke. Thank you, Tammy. Okay, let's get on. Right, so why is relational church important? Why do we do what we do? Why is a lot of what we do and a lot of what we build in Cornerstone Church, why is it built around relationships? Well, the first thing is that relationships are important to God. If we go right back to the beginning of time, we understand that in the beginning, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." And there's another passage in John which kind of reflects also a little bit about what happened at the beginning of time as we know it, and about what happened at the creation moment. And it says this, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone." And we understand a bit later on in that passage, the Word became human. And what he's talking about there is Jesus. And what he's showing us is that before the world was created, God was already in relationship. He was in relationship with himself. Because we see in those passages from the Bible that there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God already had this beautiful relationship with himself, the three and the three in one. They're all God, but they're separate parts. Now, this relationship was contented. It didn't need anybody else. It was self-fulfilled. They didn't need anybody else. But in the midst of who God is and his perfect character and the wonderfulness of who he is, he chose to share himself with the things that he was creating. He chose to share himself, his love, who he was with us. And that's the second part. Not only is relationships important to God because it's who he is, it's important to God because he chose to share relationships with us. We read in the Bible that he created the world. You know, God created all the universe. He created the galaxies. He created everything. And then he put this earth. And on earth, he put all the plants and the trees and all the things that we know. And in the midst of that, everything was good. But then when he created us, man and woman, it says we were very good. And God made us so that he could share himself in relationship, be friends with us, so he could share who he was with the people that he had created. And when we read about the story of Adam and Eve, and we understand that at the end of the day, it says that God was looking for them in the cool of the day. And I can imagine that there would be this beautiful garden, and during the day, Adam and Eve would be going around and discovering all these animals and the fruits and everything they'd been given. And at the end of the day, God would come and meet with them, and they would just hang out together. They would just be together. God created us for friendship and relationship with him. And that's why we're created. So the reason that we as a church, as Cornerstone Church, feel that relationships are important is because God is in relationship with himself. God created us for relationship. And actually, God wants us to have relationships with each other. He doesn't want us to exist and do life on our own. He realizes that we need one another. We need these relationships that we call the family and friends. And that's what we do. Now, as a church, we in the autumn series, we were looking at love in action, weren't we? We were looking at how do we display love in action, not just our words. And we had a whole autumn series. And if you want to remind yourself, please go on the internet, download the talks. They're great. There's a lot of resources there that we can continue to refresh ourselves in what we learned about putting our love for one another, how we show love in action. And when we look in the reading the Bible, we read that also Jesus did this. Relationships are important to God. When Jesus was on earth, he lived by this same principle. We read in the Bible that Jesus did miracles, there were parables, there were teachings, and there were lots of things that Jesus did. But when you read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at the details are very loud. And they speak about some of the small things that are small, but actually that Jesus did. And I've got one on the screen there. He had breakfast on the beach. Do you remember the story after the resurrection? All the fishermen are out. And as they're coming back, Jesus has already got a little table. I don't know if he had a table and chairs. But he's got the table and chairs ready. And he's prepared a breakfast. I mean, what could be more normal than just having breakfast together? That's just normal life, isn't it? There were times when Jesus went and visited different people. We read that Jesus went to the home of Peter and his mother-in-law. So he knew what it was to just be part of different family groups. So Peter and his family, and Jesus went to have dinner with them and went to hang out with them. And of course, he was there and he did a healing as well. And Peter's mother-in-law was healed at that moment. But it just tells us the little details. Jesus just did normal life and he hung out with people. When we read, we understand that there were many different groups that Jesus had. He had the 12 disciples, didn't he? He had 72 at one point that he sent out on different missions. So that means that there was a bigger number than just the 12. We understand as well that there were times when there were just three friends that he did some special things with. Do you remember on the Mount of when Jesus went up the mountain and they knew Jesus as a man, but they had a glimpse of Jesus as God on the Mount of Transfiguration, that story. And he had three special friends. We even know that he had another special friend, John. It talks a lot about the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had different relationships. He acted in relationships. He lived and he moved in relationships. He met people on the streets. He healed people on the streets. He went to see people who maybe didn't want to be seen. I remind you of the story of the woman. There was a woman, Jesus went to a town, and there was a woman that had come out to draw water, hadn't she? And she didn't want to be seen. She didn't want anyone to notice her. And Jesus had sent the disciples into the town. And this woman wanted to hopefully come out and draw some water and then go back and nobody would see her. But Jesus sought her out to be a friend to her. Jesus wanted to encounter life with her. And the story is just brilliant because as we read what happens in John chapter 4, and when Jesus has met with this woman who had some broken relationships, she hadn't always got it right with her friendships and the people that she was hanging around with. She wanted to not be with people. She wanted to do things on her own. She met with Jesus. Jesus ministers to her. Jesus loves her. Jesus just goes to the heart of the matter. And what does she do? We immediately see a change. She runs back into town. Remember, this is a woman that wanted to be doing things no one sees. She runs back into town. She tells everyone what's going on and says, "You've got to come and meet this person who's changed my life." What a great evangelist. She met Jesus. Life's changed immediately. Jesus was constantly looking for the one, looking for the many, looking to minister and be and bring people into wonderful relationships together. And so that's one of the reasons why, as a church, we do relationships. You know, this church is a living body. We can be a part of a living body of people. We are a community together. I think that we've really seen that this morning in some of the clips, in the children's talk, in the worship. We are a community. We are a people of God together. You know, church is Jesus' invention. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And we are more than just this meeting. We are more than just this building. These meetings and these buildings are great, aren't they? But we are more than that. When we meet together, when we are friends together, when we know one another, then We're building church together. We're being church together. And it's fantastic that we can be church. We can't go to church because we are church. So when you're together, when you're with people, you are the church. Isn't that great? And so that's why, as a church, one of the core values that we have is that we want to be relational. We want to be people that are in relationships with one another. And so this morning, we're just going to simply unpack what it means to very quickly have some simple guidelines that help us in our relationships. Is that all right? Good. So let's crack on with these. First one is this. Make friendships a priority. It's not difficult, is it? Make being friends with each other a priority in what we do. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it, that in that little clip, you know, those six friends, if you watch the series, some of you were avid watchers of the series, 10 series of Friends. But they, at the end of the series, some of them might go off and some of them might find other relationships. But at the end of it, they'd always come back together. They'd always have the six of them in that cafe drinking coffee and drinking drinks together. And they were always together. And their friendships were strong. And they had pulled one another back to themselves. And they allowed themselves to do different things, but they were also strong together. And friendships are really important. And you know, Jesus had lots of different friends. And some of the people that we're going to look at this morning a little bit, is some of the people that he was friends with was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Because there are some different things that we can pull out of that that help us to understand what it means to be friends together. One of the ways that we can make friendships a priority is very, very simple. We can build history together. What does that mean? It just means you do things together that create moments. You do things together that you go, do you remember when that happened? Let me give you a little example. We'll see a little picture here. Okay? That was last weekend. That was in Sweden. We had three of our wonderful young people there. Matthew, Johnny, and Beth went out with Bruce and some other leaders from Wales. And they went to minister at a conference in Sweden. Now, those of us that weren't there, we were praying for them. But when they were there, they were just building history together. I'm sure that in the coming days, there'll be times when they hook up with one another and go, do you remember when we were in Sweden and that happened? Do you remember those little funny incidences that happened in our lives when we were in Sweden? And when they go and they're ministering and they're serving God, they're also building relationships together. They're building friendships together. They're building history together. And we often have opportunities to do that in this church, to build moments together. Some of you might say, do you remember when we did the very first Willow? And we were part of that team back many years ago when we put on the first Willow conference. Or some of you can say, do you remember when we were part of the church when we only met in Julian and Sarah's house because it was so small? You're building history together. You're making relationships. You're doing things together that you can draw upon and you can enjoy talking about. And they're part of what brings and binds us together. They're part of our relationships. They're part of our friendships. As a church, we have picnics in the park, men's weekends. We had the 2020 weekend. We have watching the football together. It's all church. It's all about being in relationship. It's all about friends together. And we provide opportunities so that we can do that and we can cultivate these friendships because they're important to us. You know, Jesus did that with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they had history together. They had history. Didn't they? Very loose connection. But actually, you know, when we look back in our lives, don't we treasure the moments when we did things together? Don't we go, oh, that was special, and it bound us together as friends? And as church, we want to continue to create opportunities to build relationships and be friends together. One of the ways that we know that Jesus did that, there's a verse in Mark chapter 11, verse 11. It says, Jesus returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. Sometimes it doesn't always mention Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but we know that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived in Bethany. And often we find in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that Jesus returns to Bethany. Jesus goes back to Bethany. Now, we are presuming here, but the chances are he went to be with them and hang out with them because they were his friends. And he was building history together and he was going back to share about what's been happening and the people that he's met and some of the people that he's healed. And he's going back to just hang out with them and have meals with them and stay overnight. Remember, Jesus, as the Bible tells us, that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. He had no place to call his own home. So this was probably one of those places he visited on many, many occasions. And Jesus felt at home there. And so these are all things that we can do, having people over, events that we do, inviting friends, coffee before the meeting. It's all part of making friendships a priority for us as a church. And it's a way that we can build relationships. The second thing is that relationships provide an opportunity for care, comfort and support. And we're going to go back again to the story of Mary, Martha and Lazarus, because in John chapter 11, we have a very long story which is, gives a lot of details, and it's very important that we understand some of the details in this story, because it shows that there is already a real history. So they've already made friendships a priority. And as you know, the story of Mary, Martha and Lazarus, in this story, the news comes to Jesus that Lazarus is sick and actually he's going to die. And there's a whole story about how the disciples, he has a little teaching with the disciples, and we're not going to go into that. But what we are going to go into is that at the right time, Jesus then travels to Bethany to be with these people. And part of building relationships and part of being in a relational church is that we are there to care, to comfort and support one another. And Jesus demonstrates this in the most practical way. I'll give you an example how he does that. Look at the different encounters he has with Mary and Martha when he's going on the journey towards to visiting the family. It says, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. And during the conversation, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. In this moment where Martha is sad and grieving, in this moment where she still has faith because of her relationship and her friendship with Jesus, Jesus is able to just explain a wonderful truth of who he is to Martha. I mean, this is one of the most profound scriptures and truth of who Jesus is, and he relates it to Martha in this situation because he knows her faith is ready to receive it and encourages her in her faith. Then what happens to Mary? Martha told Mary, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to Jesus. Now this one had a different reaction. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people, he was deeply troubled. One of the great things about care and comfort and support, one of the great things about having friends, is that we can treat each other differently. We're not all the same. As you can see in this story, he treated Martha and Mary in different ways. With Martha, he gave her a piece of truth that was to encourage her. With Mary, he just shared. He says he was deeply troubled. He just shared. He was just there. His presence, his being with her was a comfort to her. And one of the great things about a church and a family together and being relational churches is that we can deal with each other where we need it. We can meet each other's individual needs. We can counter each other carefully. One of the other things that strikes me is that the words that Jesus uses here. You know, when I was younger, there were times when I was enthusiastic and impetuous, and that sometimes meant that I said things that I wish I hadn't said. And I used words that weren't always carefully thought out, gentle, tender. But Jesus here uses tender and kind words. And one of the ways that we support and we care for one another is the way that we speak to one another, our gentle and tender words. That's just a great thing, a great model from Jesus about the words that we treat each other with and how we speak and the kindness of our words. So there are lots of different ways that we can care and support one another. One time when we had Jonah, our second child, and so Caris was about 18 months old, and I'd gone back to work and Helen was working at home looking after the children. And I think she had a flu or a bug or something like that. And so, of course, she's not very well. She's got a toddler who's 18 months old talking and ready for action and life. She's got a newborn baby. Those are not the greatest combination together, is it, really? And the husband's away working. And we had a friend that just kind of came round to just pay a visit. And the friend just came round to pay a simple visit of, hi, how are you? Maybe let's have a cup of tea together with Helen. But when she walked in, I think the friend realised that this situation needs a little bit more than just a cup of tea. And without any words, without any, you know, is it okay? She immediately saw that there was a need. So one of the things she did was she went and got a bag and put all the dirty washing in the bag and put it by the front door. The next thing she said is, Helen, without any question, I'm taking Caris for the afternoon. Don't do anything. I'm just taking the baby, the toddler away. I'm taking her out for the afternoon. And Helen was like, wow, this is great. She's on the sofa not feeling very well. A bit later on in the afternoon, when she comes back, the washing is clean. Karis is tired and ready for bed, which is great, because, you know, as you're a toddler, you wear them out and then they're ready for bed. And there was a dinner in a casserole dish. Care, comfort and support. No, is it okay if I do it? No, they just saw it, they were friends, and they were able to just step in and support one another. Isn't that great? We need those moments. We all have those moments when we need one another, and we need each other to step in on those occasions. The third thing, as we move on, is you can share the good times together. Sorry, Adam. Just wanted to encourage you just to share the good times. You know, Jesus goes back. There's a verse that says that Jesus went back to Bethany after he'd triumphantly ridden into Jerusalem. Remember the story when Jesus goes into Jerusalem and all the people are waving palm branches and they proclaim that he's the Hosanna, son of David, and he's going to be the king. You know, we don't just have to share the challenging moments with our friends. We want to share the good times, don't we? We want to share the things that we enjoy and that we go through together. It talks about faithfulness to one another. This is the third tip that we can have to be good relational friends, good friends with one another. Just have that faithfulness to each other. We're committed to each other. What does that mean? I've just got some very simple things that it means. One is that we share who we are and what we have with one another. We're just willing to share ourselves. One of the great things about friends, isn't it, is that they know you. Isn't that true? When you have friends, they just know you. They know the real you. They know when you're fun. They know when you're not so fun. They know what helps you to enjoy life. They know your challenges. But friends just know you. And that's a great thing. You can just share yourself and be yourself with people. And people, the great thing I like about friends is that when people do know me, they still want to be my friend. That's great, isn't it? Because let's be honest, sometimes we're not the nicest people, are we? Let's be honest. We have those moments when we get a bit angry, we get a bit frustrated. Life seems to bear down on us a little bit too much. And we don't always react in a very good way. But friends see past those things. They love you just for who you are. And that's what we're building in a church. We can just be ourselves in church. In Cornerstone Church is a place where we can be ourselves. We can be real and authentic, if you want to use those kind of words. We can just be genuine. One of the actions in the love in action was let your love be genuine. Let it be sincere. And we learned about how just to be yourself and be sincere in our love and be genuine in our love together. And we need each other. And one of the other great things about friendship is that the faithfulness to each other means that we can trust each other. You know, we're not all the same, are we? Remember, one of my favorite movies is Ice Age 3 and Ice Age 2, the Ice Age series. And you've got this family that's made up of some seriously funny people. You've got this big Manny the Mammoth. Then you've got the saber-toothed tiger. Then you've got Sid the Sloth. And then different characters come and join in. Now, as you look at the whole series, Ice Age 1, 2, 3, and 4, as you look at, there's opportunities for all of them to go off. At the end of some of the movies, in each of the movies, there's an opportunity, like in the end of the, I think it's the second one, for Manny to go and join the herd because he's realized he's not the last mammoth. And he chooses to stay with the family. And in, I think in Ice Age 4, then the saber-toothed tiger, there's an opportunity for him to go off with someone. And he chooses to stay with the family. And Sid's always trying to go off, the sloth. But they choose to be faithful to one another. They say, we're committed to one another. And that means we're going to do life together. We're going to be doing life together. And they support one another. That's what we want. We're in friendship. We're in relationship. We need one another, don't we? It's good to have one another. You know, C.S. Lewis said, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. Isn't that true often in our lives? Part of being faithful is that you don't have to go through things on your own. And chances are, some of the things that you're going through, maybe it's a stress at work or some issues in your family or issues with different things in our lives. Someone else has been through those things as well or been through similar circumstances. So when we're friends, when we're faithful to one another, when we know one another, we can share those moments and we can be encouraged and supported in those moments together. There's another famous guy, no man is an island. And it's true, isn't it? We can't do life on our own. We can't really. We need each other. It's so important to have each other. And that's what this church is about. It's a family. It's a group of people doing life together. We're on a journey. All of us are at different stages of that journey. Some of us are younger. Some of us are older. Some of us have lots of experience. Some of us have little experience with the walk with Jesus. It doesn't matter. We're in it together. We're with one another. And we want to grow in our relationships with each other to be the people of God that wants us to be. And the great thing about it is this, as I'm coming to a finish, as we are relational together, it has an impact on other people. Because we all of us have that need for doing things together. And people feel that this is a church where they can come and find good friendships and find good relationships. And people make them feel welcome. And that's what we want to do. And the last point is this. Outdo one another in doing good. How do we grow in our friendships? How do we develop our friendships and our relationships? We can just have a desire and a plan to outdo one another. Not in a competitive way, but look to do things that are always going to be for others rather than ourselves. It's like taking our eyes off ourselves.